Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. And today I am excited to chat with Marianne Garrity, owner of Moving Forward Senior Move Managers here in Madison, Wisconsin. Is that right?
Yes.
You guys do southern Wisconsin?
Well, we stay mostly Dane County, but we can go all around the whole state.
All right. Man, I just had the craziest Wisconsin accent there, didn't I? Wisconsin? So, I've known you, let's call it 15-ish years, something like that?
It's been a while.
It has been a while. Yes. So, you've been an entrepreneur for a long time.
Yes.
All right. So, let's start in the way beginning. What did you do right before you started a business?
My husband and I have owned maybe, I think, three businesses before.
Okay.
We owned a medical practice. He was a physician, so he
owned
a medical practice.
Okay.
And then we owned storage units for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, we did. We lived in Indiana, so we had the medical practice and storage units.
Okay.
And then we moved and we sold those two companies. And then from there we bought we had a ink and toner store, which you know well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Over on University Avenue. And so... owning that store for about 6 years, and we started doing some electronic recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started getting into like the recycling side of things and helping people dispose of things correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we sold that company, and then I just was looking for a new adventure, and I heard about this industry that I'm in now,
the senior move stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I want to pause for a second and just ask you about storage units.
Yeah.
Were those good? Was it profitable?
We loved them. And I think, you know, it's kind of, right now we actually, where our office is located, we would like to even add some storage units to our location.
Okay.
Because although we try to encourage people not to save things and just to downsize and be done with them, there are situations where, you know, family needs to come into town and look at things, or which is a short period of time.
Oh, sure.
So it would make sense for us to still own some storage units. So it's still in our in our plethora of things we enjoy.
Sure.
So we may own them again someday.
Nice.
We'll see.
Because that was kind of the golden ticket, I don't know, maybe a decade ago?
They're pretty big still. It's still a huge growing industry. So we went to a conference once about them, actually.
Yeah.
So it's really an interesting industry, that's for sure.
All right. I see them popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm, they are.
And my rule has always been people have junk. So whether they store it or not, they just...
Yeah, and again, I definitely would prefer, I'm kind of against it. Overall, I just think that people just put things in there and they close the door and you forget about them. So I and I really am very big into just doing a short-term idea, like just to get you over a hurdle, like 3 months is okay, but you know, 30 years is not, type of thing. So
that's so funny. Yeah, if you have it for 30 years
it's
in a storage
a
unit, it's probably not that important.
And we did, when we were in Indiana, we had a customer in there who honestly, we never even met him. He had 3 10-by-20 units. And he had owned them before. There's a, you know, somebody owned the storage units before us, and he was one of their first renters. So literally, he was there like 20 years, just in you know, the same.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. He'd come and go, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
Weird.
So, yeah.
I don't even want to ask what's in that storage unit.
Yeah,
is there those storage units? That's funny. So you got in the senior move thing, and senior move, from what I understand from talking to other people, it's a fairly new industry where someone figured out, hey, this is a big deal. We got to fix this.
Relatively new. Yeah, I think basically, so we're part of the Association of Move Managers, and it started basically around 20 years ago. Yeah, so it's been around for probably a little longer than most people think.
Yeah, I would not have guessed that. All right. Yeah.
It's just been growing. There's a thousand companies similar to mine, although mine's a little unique in some aspects, but there are about 1,000 of us around the country.
Really?
As part of this association.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Has and internationally, that number... there's some in Australia. There's a bunch in Canada, so
All right.
So,
has that number exponentially gone up, or is
it's gone up every year. It's, you know, we go to conference every year, so the number just keeps going up. People
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's a great organization. I love it.
So... what did people do before something like this existed?
Well, now we've had, you know, we've had such a change over the years with baby boomers.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically back before our industry, you know, a lot of people were not living as long, first of all. And
so they just died.
So it just happens.
Sure.
And they live with family members and their possessions aren't quite as, you know, great. So we've moved along this curve of having the baby boomers who tend to be collectors. They went through a lot of hardships. They tend to collect a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
So as this population has aged and then their kids are coming up, there's a whole round of people that weren't around before and weren't in need of the service
sure
as much as it is now. And right now, the other part is that families are spread apart much more. So a lot of my clients, their kids might live in New York or California, and their parent needs to move from their family home into independent living or assisted living.
Sure.
So they're just not as close, you know, that they can come and help them on the weekends or whatever.
All right.
And so they just need help for their parents. So that's typically what's kind of happening now.
Nice. Mm-hmm. So when you reached out to your husband, you're like, hey, I want to get in the senior move thing. How did he react to that?
Yeah, I think that so my degree was working with seniors, so I think he's always known that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Way back when.
Okay.
Years ago.
Back in the day.
So I've always really liked working with seniors a lot. And again, after we sold the store, I had a little time where I worked at St. Vincent de Paul, mm-hmm. and I kind of helped them with some of their electronic recycling for a real short period of time. And while I was there, you know, they'd get phone calls about people who needed help, you know, getting their belongings they wanted to donate from the attics or, you know.
Oh, really?
You know,
okay.
Things were in the basement, but they weren't able to physically go to the basement to get them. And so as I was thinking of my new pathway, I'm like, boy, these, you know, a lot of seniors happen to be calling and they just need some help inside their home.
Yeah.
So then I had networked with a gentleman who worked for Comfort Keepers, actually. And I said, hey, I have this idea. What do you think if I start helping seniors downsize?
Yeah.
And he's the one who actually told me about this NASM, the Association of Senior Move Managers. He's like, you know, there's already like a bunch of people doing it around the around the world.
That's how you know he had a good idea, right?
Yeah, so exactly. Oh, wow. So once I knew that this existed, I like, and it was pretty interesting. Like, I found out about the organization NASM in January, and I called the office and I spoke with, you know, the ladies in charge of the association.
Yeah.
And like, oh, we're having a conference next month. Why don't you come to the conference?
Wow.
So I went to my first conference without even owning a company yet.
Nice.
And I learned from all these wonderful ladies and men around the country who have been doing this for a few years now. And it was just, it's a perfect fit for this huge need that seniors and their families want. And then we were just in a position to be able to, you know, kind of create systems to help them easily.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, I've always been curious about this, how different business owners do something like this. Because what you guys do is pretty capital intensive with the trucks and labor and stuff like that. Like, where did you start and where are you now from a capital point of view? Because did you rent trucks back when you started and now you have a small army, or how does that work?
No, it's a good question. So now we do own 16, we have 16 vehicles in our fleet.
16?
Which is insane. I never saw that coming.
Wow. That's a lot of tires.
But when we started out, I'm a pretty big Dave Ramsey fan.
Okay,
and
sure.
So I'm like, okay, if we're going to start an adventure. And of course, along our, you know, my husband and I, of course, you have different, you're going into business, you have, you know, some things that work and you have a lot of overhead. There's all these potential headaches. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do another business, I really want to make sure that I'm financially sound. I don't want any debts. I just want to go in slowly.
You know,
kind of, I wasn't eager to like accumulate a lot of financial risk.
Sure.
And so I started out, and you know, we started out, it was just me for one of my first jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, wow, this is a lot of work. So I brought in one employee, and then I kind of saved my money. And then as soon as I had enough money to buy my first truck, I bought my first truck.
Nice.
And it's actually been that system ever since.
All right.
I just save money. We just buy another vehicle as the need, you know, comes up.
All right.
And then, you know, it's definitely, it costs a lot to own vehicles to keep them up, and you have all these guys working. I have to make sure my staff is safe, so you have to be really aware.
The insurance and the maintenance, and
it is huge. And then, so I think that has, you know, been an expense that I just been monitoring and not jumping in over my head. And I think some companies might just go and lease a truck for like, you know, lots of tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
It could be all over the board if you really wanted to jump in and buy brand new trucks. So for us, we just really tried. My husband's great at finding our vehicles.
Oh, nice.
So he goes online and he searches them out and he looks for some that, you know, have just what we want. We have all white vehicles. Most of them are Toyotas. So we kind of have the standard. And
nice.
So we just kind of keep looking now for what's working for us.
Sure.
And we just save our money and then we buy the vehicle as we feel we need it.
I gotta say, I bought one car brand new. And I'm trying to sell it now. It's 5 years old. And I knew that I was going to lose money on it, but I had no idea that I was going to lose this much money on it.
It hurts, doesn't it?
It's insane. Yeah. So I can only imagine when you're talking industrial vehicles,
right.
I think it's even worse.
Yeah. And so we've had really good luck just buying ones that, you know, were still in really good condition, but they were used. And it's just been It's actually saved us, because I think I've known other people along the way who just spent a lot of money on vehicles, really, and other things too, but they could really just drag you down quickly.
So. Yeah, I feel sometimes with the new stuff, I guess there's a pride that probably comes with it, or you're like, hey, this is mine, it won't break down, but there's no guarantee that it won't break down.
Definitely.
Certainly had new cars.
Right.
Didn't do what they should. So it's interesting. Do you have moving trucks, like the cube vans and stuff like that?
Yeah, we have three moving trucks.
Okay.
And then we have two trailers and a pickup truck.
Okay.
Yep, so we...
To the point that you need CDLs for some of those?
Nope, we don't.
Oh, nice.
No,
okay.
They have to have good, our guys have to have good driving records. And,
sure.
You know, but no, we don't have... We're not at the point where we need CDLs. And we don't... We only do our moves within the state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't cross state lines. So we only...
Gotcha.
We only work for the trucks within the state.
Okay. You know, it's so interesting you say the good driving record. Because back in the day, we're talking long time ago, I used to speed a lot.
No.
Yeah, a lot. I used to speed a lot and get caught. And so I didn't have the greatest driving record in the world. No crazy DUIs or anything
good,
like that. But lots of speeding tickets. Plethora of speeding tickets.
Oh.
And I went to get a job, I don't know, installing fireplaces or something like this way back when. And they gave me the job. Everything's cool. You're going to start on Monday. Friday afternoon, they give me a call and they're like, dude, your driving record is terrible. We can't hire you. I'm like, well, that's unfortunate. So the next week, I go looking for a job. I got a job driving a concrete truck.
Oh, my gosh.
So that company, you know, driving concrete truck, I had a CDL.
Oh, my
gosh. So I'm like, I can do way more damage with this 80,000-pound concrete truck than I could ever do with a van.
Wow, that's interesting.
But you couldn't speed with a concrete truck, so not without a running start. So maybe that was why, but it was kind of funny how I couldn't drive a van.
It haunts you, those
I guess
driving record.
Maybe the size of the company or something like that, or maybe, I don't know, I wasn't on crack, so maybe,
I'm glad.
Whatever.
That's good.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So let's talk about employees.
Sure.
Because that's, you started with your one, and then you grew from there. How many employees do you have now?
I think we have about 37.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been doing this?
It'll be 7 years in February.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's been great.
So has it been challenging to find employees?
No, I've been super lucky. And most of my employees, I should say, they're not all full-time. So I have a few that are more full-time. And then other, especially my senior move manager ladies, they're more of a part-time as needed because we do have a little bit of variation throughout the year. But, you know, I've just been super fortunate. A lot of my staff have come, they're friends of friends who knew people working with our company who just
cool.
That sounds really fun. I want to come work there too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's happened a lot. And then I have a unique group of folks who, a lot of them are my senior move manager ladies. A lot of them have come from other careers, like maybe they were teachers, social workers, they worked for the state of Wisconsin. Now they're looking for just a little part-time job.
So semi-retired?
And so, so they just kind of, they enjoy having the flexibility. And if they want to go on vacation, they just tell me they want a month off. And I say, no problem. So they like the flexibility, but it still gives them a job that's very rewarding that they really enjoy doing.
Very cool.
So, and then my guys, I feel really fortunate. The gentlemen who work for me as my movers and haulers, and we do a lot of trash hauling and a lot of basement cleanouts. So they seem to like the kind of the variety of it. Like some days maybe you're moving furniture from point A to point B, and other times you might just be hauling stuff down from an attic. So it's just very, they kind of like that mixture, I believe, too. And they're wonderful.
Man,
so
that's going to be hard work.
It is.
And I imagine some basements are just creepy.
They're
dingy.
They are. And when I'm interviewing people for the job, I try to stress. I'm like, you know, we do work with people who have some hoarding tendencies, but for the most part, things are just neglected because, you know, maybe the client hasn't even been able to go downstairs in 20 years or whatnot. So things are just neglected.
All right.
So you got to be able to handle a little bit of dust, debris, mice, cats. You have to be able to handle that, the dustiness of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's physical, so I always warn people that you're going to go home tired, even if you're not moving a couch. You're still moving lots of boxes of books.
It's just moving. Endless, right?
Yeah, you're just going. So, but most of them like it because they like the physical aspect of it. That's kind of why they want a job
that's
to
fair.
Keep active, and that's what they're kind of looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I used to deliver beer years ago, and that's the main reason I missed that job.
Yeah,
because you didn't have to work out.
Right. That's what my guys say.
You were, I was in the best shape of my life, and I didn't lift anyways.
You don't need a health club.
You just, tossing kegs around and whatever. And interesting. Plus, everybody loves a beer man.
Yeah, they do. And they're happy to see you coming.
Yeah, beer man. So, you had luck with employees. you're smart about the fiscal stuff and all that kind of stuff. But you guys do a lot of stuff besides just cleanouts.
We do. Right?
Okay, mm-hmm. So let's go through the list of all that you do for your clients.
Sure.
Or can do for your clients, because I imagine some pick and choose what they want.
They do pick and choose a bit. So basically, when people approach us, there's a few different reasons why. So mm-hmm. lots of times it will be the children of the senior who's in transition.
Okay.
Who will call us to physically go in and sort through a house, a family home, that the parents were living in for the past 50 years. And then my staff will go in, and honestly, you're kind of going room by room, drawer by drawer, all the closets, mm-hmm. to identify the items that are still important to them.
All right.
And figure out, like, what they would still like to tag. We have a little sticker system. Tag and bring to their new space.
So nice,
we
can okay.
do a floor layout and make sure what they want to bring will fit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we try to find ways then for the items that the family, either if the family wants to keep items, we'll, you know, ship items to them around the country or wherever. And then we have avenues to sell and donate items that have some value. And we have our, you know, partners lined up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we always do a round of recycling and trash.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do clean out. Well, we usually first clean the house so it's prepared to go on the market. So we spend some time in that cleaning phase.
Okay.
Where we might bring in a handyman or a painter. We have to pull carpet if there's like beautiful wood floor under. Often
we'll okay, just fixing a little yeah. stuff. Okay.
Yes, we do a lot of that little handyman work
mm-hmm.
after we kind of have our clients moved and settled in their new space. With that, though, when we're doing the actual move part, we are also doing the packing and unpacking of mm-hmm. our clients' items, and we're trying to recreate their smaller apartment so it looks similar to how their home was.
Oh, nice.
So that's kind of a key reason why people will hire us, is because we have to really keep be mindful of the fact that the clients are losing a lot, and so yeah. we really try to make sure we make that process smooth and stress-free,
mm-hmm.
and by bringing those key items kind of help with that transition.
So it seems like home to the client.
Right. Yep.
When they get into their new apartment or whatever.
At the end of move day, we try to have things unpacked, settled, so they're not in transition any longer than they have to be.
Nice.
So we try to kind of, we work along those thoughts a lot.
So you're talking about furniture is laid out, mm-hmm. stuff is hung up.
Yep. All the pictures are hung up, the beds are made, the coffee pots are plugged in. We kind of, you know, have to work on getting Spectrum hooked up. So we make sure all these little details are done so that the family just doesn't have to think about all these in details, because usually there's always some other part going on. Either lots of times our clients maybe had an illness or a fall, so there's mm-hmm. there's lots of stuff on the health side that mm-hmm. families could be dealing with,
mm-hmm.
so we take away as much as we can on the actual dealing with the physical side of the items, the house, the move, and that way let the family can kind of focus on other things that
that's cool.
we can't. So
yeah, I imagine, I'm just trying to picture a checklist for taking care of a parent
mm-hmm.
that's in that position, like, that's insane.
Right.
Oh, right. Wow. And I suppose, I imagine a lot of this comes on fairly quickly, right?
It does, yeah.
Mom or dad had a fall or something like that, or stroke or whatever.
Right.
And it's not like you schedule that stuff.
Right.
And it just happens.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we're pretty much on that pace that people call us because they're in that rush mode or mm-hmm. something urgent happen. And so we have to be able to respond quickly. And it's interesting with lots of hospitals and rehabs, if somebody kind of runs out of money, essentially, or, you know, Medicare says, okay, we're going to stop paying tomorrow. Oh,
okay.
They're like, oh my gosh, now we have to move our parent from rehab to assisted living, like, in 2 days. So that's...
Whoa, really? That fast?
Yeah. Yeah, because there's lots of different restrictions when people are in rehab as far as how long they could stay.
Okay.
And usually they get a notice, and usually it's short term. They're not going to tell you, okay, you can get out next week. It's going to be within a short amount of time.
48 hours.
It happens, yeah. And wow. So then we work with, then the family, of course, gets super stressed about that.
Sure.
So there's been plenty of situations where, again, my staff will just say, no problem, and we're kind of familiar with this. So we'll go to the family home and kind of figure out the items based on just kind of being familiar with what the client has been using most often. So we identify the bed, the dresser, the clothing that's, you know, kind of in the center of the closet that they're probably wearing most. So we mm-hmm. can go in there and almost do that step independently. So the family doesn't even need to go back nice. With us. And we just pack it up, move it, unpack it, and just take that whole stress off right. of the family members.
Oh, that's clever.
It's really great.
That's really clever. Yeah. And I imagine that just comes with experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, we do a lot with pictures and texts, and, you know, there's a lot of communication.
Okay.
So we bond with the families on a pretty pretty serious level.
Like, I bet.
Going through that, because we're just there, like, whatever you need, we just could go in and do it.
Yeah. This is a big question, right? Because with calls on call, we have this challenge we have to build trust with our clients as fast as possible so that we can do the best job possible. Mm-hmm. And I imagine it's the same thing with you.
It is.
And you're trying to build trust with people that you don't even see.
Right.
They found you online or whatever.
Well, lots of times we do a new client visit. So usually people call us, and then calls on call, their system that we use for answering our phones. They do a great job. They'll schedule a new client visit. And so we'll go out and meet the family. Mm-hmm. And it's always just, it's really amazing because like you walk in the room and you can just feel the tension because there's so much unknown and oh my gosh, I can never move out of this house. And they think it's not going to happen for, they weren't planning on it happening soon or they don't want it to happen. So we just kind of walk through our process with them and we just remind them that, you know, it seems overwhelming, but honestly, we'll just go step by step. And by the time we leave that new client visit, you know, they feel like a load has already been lifted off their shoulders. So we kind of walk through the house and say, it's no problem. You know, don't worry, we'll find a home for the treadmill and don't worry with, you know, we'll take care of the pool table, you know, and we'll move, you know, if you want your queen size bed, we'll go see if it fits in the new apartment. So we kind of touch on all these areas that have really been bothering them.
Nice.
And then so that really just even that first, after that first visit, I think we connect really well with our clients. And then from there, it's just, you know, communication and we're just talking like you've known them forever. So I think that's why we get just this feedback after we're done, because it's such a short window that we're with our families. But this relationship is just, it's really incredible, like how connected you become quickly.
Right. So you're like the wolf from Pulp Fiction, just
something.
Maybe a little more
I'm not sure,
less bloody, right?
Yes.
But I imagine it's a little daunting for people because they've been in this house for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And now in an instant or so,
yeah,
they have to get into this different place.
Right.
Get all set up.
And it is hard. And sometimes though, we feel that they do want to do the move. They just can't, they just don't understand like what's, how's this going to happen? And you know, who's going to get them all this stuff? And we just need to get a dumpster. They just overwhelmed, like, oh my God, I want to move, but who's going to handle, who's going to help me through this, these belongings? So I think we play a really key role, and we're like, okay, first of all, we don't hardly ever order dumpsters because usually we try to find homes for items by selling and donating. So
really?
Yeah, so it's not like we come in with a dumpster. It's like, you know, round 10, like, okay, if things can't find a home, we work, you know, we work with a lot of great donation sites if we can't sell things, but we always start out by seeing what has some value to sell that so that money comes back to the family. And then we work, like right now we're doing a program with Salvation Army. That we're doing is called Make a House a Home. So basically like beds is an example of something that the Salvation Army families need. And then we tend to get lots of.
So we
can kind of give the beds from our clients to Salvation Army. And so it kind of makes that process easier on our clients to know that their things are going to a good home. If they're not sellable. You know, if you can't, some things just can't sell, but we could find homes for people who truly need them, like right now. So that just helps get over that hurdle.
Sure.
And it just makes the process easier.
So I'm just trying to imagine not getting a dumpster. I helped my, so my great uncle passed away, and this was probably 15, 20 years ago. He lived in that house forever, as far as I was concerned. Like before I was born, and so decades. And he had, this is a weird, I shouldn't say weird, it's just an older two-story house where he had an attic in every corner.
Sure, yeah.
And like
cool.
The older houses did. And then the attic way up top. And there was just stuff. So much stuff.
Right, all kinds of treasures.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was kind of weird. Like he had blue books, like Wisconsin blue books. He had blue books from 18 whatever up until I want to say 2000 whatever it was, right? So just dozens of these blue books. And I'm sure somebody wanted these, but I'm like, I don't know who, because we have internet now.
Right.
So I don't know if we have any use for these or who would have a use for these. I ended up selling those or giving them away to an attorney, I think, after a decade of them sitting in my basement. Anyways, he had newspapers from every major event.
Sure.
So, like, Kennedy assassination, Challenger exploding, Reagan getting shot, or I don't know if he was shot or if he had somebody try to shoot him, whatever. All this stuff. So. But they were from Wisconsin Rapids newspaper, right? So it wasn't like the Washington Post or something like that. It was just this little towny newspaper. Super cool, very interesting,
right?
But I didn't know if it really had any value, and I didn't know, like, what do we do with this? It feels bad to throw out a newspaper of JFK getting shot.
I know, it doesn't. That's hard.
But it's kind of, it's weird. So it was just stuff like that.
Right.
that I imagine you guys come across every day.
We do, yeah, all the time. So we have rooms full, and we have, we walk into, you know, 3,000 square foot house, and it's, you know, floor to ceiling packed. So we've gone through.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're really, yeah, they're really fun.
What?
So we just kind of get in there and like,
fun.
Yeah. So again, lots of times we also work with attorneys, and they have estates where we've had houses that honestly nobody has been in the property for years because the family's like, I just can't deal with it. I just can't deal with it. And before you know it, it's, you know, 3 years is past. And so we just get in there and we work pretty quickly when there's, especially like if it's a clean out situation where the client has passed on or moved already. We can have like the house like ready to go on the market within 2 weeks is our typical.
Wow.
So we just kind of go in there, and again, we have our partners. So if we find things of interest, again, we work with auctioneers, consignment shops, antique dealers, selling things online. So we have these avenues to sell things. So again, we really spend some time, you know, kind of picking out the items that have some value like that.
All right.
But we send things out. So, you know, some move management companies might have a lot of more estate sales in the home. And so the way that we have worked it out is we just, instead of having an estate sale in the house, although if we need one, we could go that route, but it doesn't happen that there's that much valuable items in one house. So for us, it works out best just to take the valuable items and send them off site to be sold at an auction house.
Gotcha. And so then they're not in the way of you doing your job.
Yes. And that way the house can go on the market sooner.
Sure.
So that's kind of why we're able to go through that step pretty quickly. And then again, there's not trash or, you know, things like that, but we really try to maximize our donation sites for things that are usable. And then, you know, if we have things that can be recycled, we can try to use the curb pickup, you know, instead of getting a dumpster to save some resources for our clients. You know, I do have a dumpster in my office, and I will just take loads back to my office. Sometimes having a dumpster on site, especially when the client is still living there, we feel like that could pose a lot of negative feelings.
Oh, so that's fair. That's totally fair.
Yes, yeah, so we really try to be really mindful of trying to make it as smooth as possible with, you know, not create any negative feelings. So we approach it with that tone. So we try to really just zone in on that and not just say, nope, all your belongings are going in a dumpster, because that's really sad. And, you know, we've had families who said, oh, I wish I would have called you 2 years ago because we got a dumpster and we just threw everything away. So, and that's like the worst thing I hear. And I think I've heard it so often that I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I would love to be able to reach out to all these families before they just rent a dumpster and just throw everything away. Cause it's really sad.
Sure.
It's really sad.
So how did you set up all those contacts? That didn't take some time.
They just evolved, honestly. Almost like my employees, like, you know, people started kind of approaching us. We would just have these connections. And now it's so wonderful because I've been using the same group of partners for, you know, 5 years now. So I feel like we know each other really well. We trust each other really well. So it's just taken some time to kind of have that set up for my company.
That is cool.
So, yeah. And that's a huge part. Like if we didn't have them like at our fingertips, then it would make this much harder. Because, you know, I know, like, even this morning, I had a call one of my guys, and I'm like, hey, we really need you at this house, you know, in Oconomowoc tomorrow, because the family's in town just for a couple of days, and they have these really cool things for you to come look at. So, you know, he worked it out. So he's right there. He just, whatever we need.
That's cool.
So it's really, that relationship has actually been a huge part, I think, of our success.
Okay.
So.
Well, I bet. Because then you're getting, I guess, you know that someone else is using whatever the stuff is.
Right.
So, and then it's going on instead of just ending up in some landfill.
Absolutely. Or a storage unit.
Yeah, or a storage unit. The next worst thing.
That is, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, yeah.
So, do you guys sell the house, or do you work with real estate agents?
And so none of our staff are realtors. So, basically, we're called in by a lot of realtors. So, we've developed a lot of relationships, you know, over the years. There are situations where a client may come in, they don't know any realtors, and then I could refer out of my little network of realtors that I know.
Sure.
Who I feel like would be a good match for the house or the client. So, we do work with a lot of realtors, and usually, again, they're the one kind of calling us in. Because they're like, oh my God, Marianne, we got to get this house on the market, and it's just, we got to get rid of this stuff. So they call us in to kind of really help with that stuff. So,
you guys do so much stuff that I imagine your niche is with seniors, but do you ever work outside of that?
Definitely. And so we do work with seniors. The association originally was created because, like I mentioned, all the baby boomers and seniors. But they actually even went through, they're kind of going through a name change right now.
Oh.
Because, they want to make sure that people do realize that although we were set up for seniors because moves are hard at any age. They're super mm-hmm. hard when you're 90, right? Mm-hmm. But they're also hard for a divorce situation or a mother with two kids. So there's all these transitions we have in life.
Mm-hmm.
So we still use our same processes, and it doesn't matter if the our clients are 30 or 80. In the end of the day, they're still going through some transition.
Right.
Or they're just busy professionals, and they just don't want to pack up their house, and they just want somebody to come in and handle it.
Yeah.
So there's a mixture of, busy professionals. These, divorce situations is one that there's just mm-hmm. so much stress, and maybe the husband and wife can't even be in the same room. So there's all these little components of any of these big transitions.
Sure.
That although we started out as an association for just focused on seniors, mm-hmm. it's definitely developed into help, just other people who need our services.
Nice. I want to talk about marketing because mm-hmm. that's always a cool thing. For any business, right?
Yes.
So how do people find you, and what do you do to promote your business?
Sure. So I think that over the years we've done networking events have been huge for us, especially in the beginning, to kind of just letting people know we're out there.
Mm-hmm.
We work, like I mentioned, we do work with realtors, so we just try to connect with realtors and just, kind of make sure that if they need help, if their families and clients need help, that they can reach out to us. We try to keep a relationship with realtors, and I love working with them. Our senior communities, like the Jefferson. I don't know if you ever networked with Tawny at the Jefferson. Being the networker you are, yeah, she's great. And I always have to give her kudos because she was one of the first ones I approached when I started this business. And she's the marketing lady for the Jefferson.
The Jefferson is
it's an independent living community.
Okay.
It's a senior community over in
I have to apologize. I'm not familiar.
Oh, no, it's good. And she has a little networking group that she does Tuesday mornings.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, she's a great lady.
Nice.
And so she kind of helped me in the beginning, and she just would share my information with the families moving into the Jefferson. And so that really just jump-started me. And I owe her my life because that was a key starting point.
Nice.
Yeah, she was that big of an influence. And then from there, then the other senior communities, we work with Capitol Lakes, Parkside and DeForest. We have all these communities mm-hmm. around that we work with who, again, when people are moving into their communities, then they'll kind of offer our flyers in case, because the conversation might come up like, so how, who's going to pack your mother? Or so the senior communities.
Like, I can't imagine having those conversations.
Yeah.
Kudos to them for having them. They have to have them, but... I can't imagine being like, hey, your mom had a stroke or fell or whatever. Now we have to go through all these changes. And, what are you going to do with all your mom's junk?
Yeah, it's...
Like, oh!
It's exactly it.
And it's going to be challenging.
Yeah, totally. And then, again, if there's the sandwich generation, where, again, they're dealing with their own life, maybe their own profession, their own kids, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they get the phone call that, your mom fell, and what are you going to do? So, mm-hmm. So I think the marketing people having our information kind of has really helped us a lot
mm-hmm.
because it's something the families are thrilled. Like once they hear we exist, like, oh my gosh, you're going to do what? That's exactly right. So that's helped those two points. And then attorneys, just again, getting to know attorneys
because mm-hmm.
they're the ones that people are sometimes coming to like, okay, we got to clear out this estate. So I think just by knowing the attorneys, having them know that we're here, those mm-hmm. have been our biggest sorts of marketing, I would say.
Gotcha.
Our website, we just kind of revamped our website, and we just try to, have information on there so people can kind of go there.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's word of mouth and friends of friends. Is that very, that kind of
sure
marketing right now?
But I imagine what you're doing, do people know what to search for? Would they know what to search for
sometimes
to find you?
Sometimes they'll say, like, just downsizing or moving. Sometimes people think of us sometimes as a moving company, and they'll say, okay, we need to move some furniture. And then after they say that line, then our next question to them is, okay, so did you need some help packing, or do you know that we can kind of help with unpacking and mm-hmm. settling your mom in? Mm-hmm. So they might call us thinking we're just a moving company. And really, the way that I see us is actually we're more of a downsizing company, and moving is just one little part of us. So I feel I feel like we're really not a moving company. It's just one part, and one part's the clean out, and one part's packing, and one part's mm-hmm. floor layout and design and hanging pictures. So there's all these little spokes,
around. All right.
And so moving is just one part, but people generally will think of us possibly as more of a mover until they know us, and then.
Sure.
I think they think of us more as a downsizing.
Right.
Company.
I get that. That makes sense. A lot of businesses, yeah, I feel, do a lot of stuff related.
Yeah.
But they don't. It's tough to market everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you try to market what people are looking for, and then say, by the way,
yes.
yeah. we can do all this other
yes,
stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that.
And that's probably the part they need us more for. Is the moving is kind of it's pretty cut and dry. You know what I mean?
Sure.
that's kind of easy. I don't want to say easy. Yeah, I don't want to say easy part because it's not easy, but no. It's the fun part. But seriously, that it's that deciding what to keep, mm-hmm. you know, what you're emotionally tied to, how you're going to let things go, mm-hmm. and, you know, having that, try not to lose that sense of independence. Like, those are all, like, this whole emotional side is probably what separates us as a company, more mm-hmm. so than any of this physical stuff that's going on.
Sure.
Also.
That makes sense. So, that makes sense. So. Tell me about the name. How did you come up with the name? It's a fantastic name. Yeah. So
it was funny because I mentioned that first conference I went on.
Yeah.
And I had to have a name because you had to register with a name. So
oh, funny.
I was debating a name. And I'm like, well, maybe I'll call it A Little Help. And so I go there and I just print off these little business cards just to get me through the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, A Little Help. That's an interesting name. And like nobody, like everyone just like had this weird look about them.
Oh, meh.
Yeah. And again, I go back home like, boy, I don't know about that name. It just didn't seem to like work. And then again, I did that first job and I'm like, oh my God, it's not just a little help. It's like a lot of
this
help.
This is an incredible amount
like
of help.
An incredible amount of help. So then I just started, just kind of thinking of names that I felt mm-hmm. would work. And I just kind of liked this name a lot.
Yeah.
So we started writing out the list of names. You go down the list and you kind of keep scratching some off. So I probably had a list of like 25 different names.
Sure.
And I kept, you know, thinking of them. And
that's genius.
You like it?
It's fantastic.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phrase that, it's interesting because with calls on call, sometimes I will use the phrase moving forward and I have to be like, okay, I can't use that phrase because then they'll relate it.
Marianne's going to get mad at me.
Well, no, just like I don't want to confuse the crew.
Yeah.
So I'm like, because moving forward is a common phrase.
It is, yeah.
Right? Because like, yeah, we'll get to this moving forward. And be like, Mom, that seems weird. We got to change that.
It's kind of funny. And it happens. It just comes up in your general conversation.
Yeah, so. I mean, but that's why it's so cool.
Yeah, so.
It's just a common phrase. So it's top of mind. Super
yeah.
easy.
Yeah.
You can latch onto that little chunk of the brain that
right.
that yeah, people already have in there. Right. So that's super awesome.
Oh, I'm glad you like it.
So moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Into the future. What do you see, I guess, let's call it 5 years.
Sure.
I mean, it's tough to say in 2020 what's going to happen
right.
5 years. Who knows? But best
right.
guess.
Right.
People will keep getting old,
you
right?
Be, you have to be optimistic.
Right.
I really enjoy just kind of growing this company. It's really enjoyable. Like, mm-hmm. it's really, like, I love the fact that I have staff that are great staff. They work with my clients well. They bond with my clients. And I love being able to provide them jobs.
So yeah.
I love that side of it.
Right.
So I think I really like owning this company.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two companies that I met early on in the beginning. They have, actually, it's called Gentle Transitions. One's in Minnesota and one's in California.
Okay.
And basically his mom, the current owner, his mom was like a pioneer in the right. Like she owned the first move management company.
Oh.
So I've looked up this company like from day one. And they, the one gentleman in California, he actually has a bunch of general transition companies around the state of California.
Okay.
So basically, you know, he has a little pod set up and he just kind of goes there and works along the whole state of California.
Wow.
In Minnesota, the gentleman there who and his wife who run that company, again, they're just, they serve the whole area and they're a wonderful company and they've been growing their whole time too.
Mm-hmm.
So in my perfect world, I would just love the idea to be able to grow outside of Dane County, like going to Oconomowoc would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that idea of being able to grow.
Yeah.
Keep growing the company, keep adding to my staff.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just because it's such a rewarding business to own and
yeah.
it's such a need, and I feel like it's still going to be a need for a bunch more years here. So I still feel like we have a lot of potential to grow.
So. Yeah, I was saying definitely.
Yeah.
There's one thing that we can guarantee is that people will get old, and I suppose another thing on top of that is they will have junk.
Well, although, again, half of the problem now, though, is like people on my son's age, they're 25-year-old.
Right.
They are more minimalist, so they're not wanting all this other stuff. So all eventually
right.
it's going to come to a point where people are going to stop keeping and storing.
You think so?
Mm-hmm, I do, because a lot of people are going towards minimalism as all opposed
right.
to collecting things because of, you know, their childhood of being brought up in the Depression. So I think we're just going to have this. It's going to be a different time.
All right.
So I don't think it's going to last forever.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
But I think for another 20 years, I think it'll be around. So.
Oh, all of that. All of it. I'm thinking of the 20-somethings that I know. Most of them still live at home, so they don't know.
Yeah.
They've never lived on their own, so they don't know what they need or
right.
even what they want. Because it's all their parents are supplying it for them.
Yeah, it's different.
So interesting. But I suppose in 20 years, you won't have to care. So
yeah. Well, I guess 20 years, maybe I would only be 70, so I don't know. Maybe we should say longer. Maybe it'll be around another 40 years. Maybe
Yeah. People always have junk. I look at the volume of stuff. Hopefully my wife doesn't listen to this. But the volume of stuff that my wife buys from Marketplace or Craigslist or Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is... Even garage sale season, back when they had garage sales.
Right.
Just, I'm like, you're buying somebody else's junk.
Right.
So that we can have it at a garage sale.
Yeah. Yep.
So I don't see that going away.
No. And I really try to encourage people, really. So one of my favorite authors is Peter Walsh. And he's a big downsizing guru.
Okay. All right.
And it's really that whole, just trying to really focus your attention on just keeping
Peter Walsh.
What you love and need. And all this other stuff is actually just, it just really smothers you, really, because you have all this stuff and you're just spending so much of your time
mm-hmm.
figuring out where to store all your stuff and, you know, not being able to get rid of it and the emotional guilt you feel because, mm-hmm. like, I can't get rid of this couch because it was my mom's. And the only reason why you're keeping it is because it's your mom's. There's some emotional attachment.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I really love listening to him all the time because he really motivates me just to help me remember, just to kind of try to really express that to my clients sometimes. It's like, mm-hmm. it's just these items are really causing you a lot of stress because it's just...
Yeah.
Having them and dealing with them is just so stressful.
All right.
And so, and when we clean out a closet and seeing like an empty space, there's like nothing better. It's this whole relief factor. Like, oh my God, I see the wall. I see
the
floor.
Oh my gosh, it's a whole new world.
It really feels good.
Yeah.
And so that's like a huge thing that I think we work through with people. It's just really just letting go of the stuff to let go of the stress that it's causing you and really just keeping items that you love and need and stop buying stuff. Just
stuff.
Because it's on sale.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Look at all the money we saved.
Yes. Yes. Not a good thing.
No. So. You know, I take the time at night to clean up our kitchen, make sure the table's clear and counters are clear and all that jazz. Because if I wake up, come downstairs, and there's just clutter.
Yeah.
It's like, bad start to the day. And that's just a kitchen.
It's good you feel that way. It really, because I think that happens to a lot of people. And it, mm-hmm. it does. It's like this... suffocating feeling.
Yeah, it's just one more weight, like, eh.
Right.
So it's a whole new, it's good to be cognizant of that.
Yes.
Though it takes some time.
Yes.
But I feel like you're much more efficient mm-hmm. when you actually want to do something in there.
Right.
Then.
And it's just this guilt that people just carry around with them, like even, you know, treasures of things from their past or their kids' past.
Mm-hmm.
And the only time they pull it out from under the bed is to look at it and say, oh my God, what should I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And then you close it back up and you tuck it back under your bed. So. And it's just this, it's just, but as long as it's there, it's just stressful. And mm-hmm. then again, having a closet full of clothes, it's some, you know, you used to fit into, but you don't anymore. And
sure.
some you wish you could wear, but they don't look good on you. Like just letting go of those, anything that has like a negative feeling is mm-hmm. really powerful. So you don't have to get rid of everything, but get rid of these things that just create that negative feel for you.
I imagine you have to think about it to realize if it's giving you a negative feeling, right?
It's interesting. There are some things that are easy. Like as you walk mm-hmm. through your house right now, there are some things like, this definitely means a lot to me. Like I have, you know, one necklace, you know, that's really like, I mm-hmm. love this necklace and I wear it and I love it. Then you look at like a whole drawer full of earrings and every time you look at it, you're like, oh my God, I haven't worn these in 20 years. So I think you kind of, if you think about it,
sure.
there are some things that are super easy and you just start with those layers. The things that you're like, oh my God, why am I keeping this? Every time I look at it, I remember this old girlfriend I had or whatever, you know what I mean? So like, you just get rid of it. Anything that has a negative feeling, it's get rid of that layer right away. Any negative feeling associated with it.
I keep looking at my class ring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't even know why I got a class ring, but that was the thing, right?
Yeah.
Back in the day. I don't know if they still do that or not.
I'm not sure they do either. My kids didn't buy one. Now that you mentioned it.
But I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
Right? Because I remember saving up all this money to buy the stupid ring that I, whatever.
Yeah. So it's either going to be kept in your drawer until your son, you have your son, right?
Yeah.
He's going to have to deal with it someday.
Yeah, he's going to be like, what is this?
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, I would just take it and sell it and know somebody's going to enjoy it, love it. Because there are people who collect things like that. There are people who...
Really?
People collect things. So
all right.
I would just recommend just selling it to somebody who's in that world of...
class
things.
Ring yes. collecting.
Yes.
What a creepy world. All right.
There's people who collect everything. So there's historians who, you know, who like certain things that people think are trash. But they just like them for different reasons.
All right.
So again, if that doesn't have any meaning and you're pretty sure your wife doesn't want it and your son.
Totally sure.
Maybe not. Yeah, let it go. Then you just have empty spot.
It's good. I can't even imagine explaining to my son what a class ring is when we bought it. I know. He's like, son, this is for you. What is it?
And my husband gave me one, so I had his ring for like 2 years in high school. I had a, you know, Angora.
Oh, nice. All right.
Yeah.
Did you keep that one?
I have it still.
All right.
I do.
So that's a little trinket that's meaningful.
I probably should let it go. You know what? I've ignored it, so I haven't even like looked at
it. Sure.
So I think
luckily it's not huge, right? It's not like a car or something like that.
But it would be something in my layer that I feel like, okay, I don't love it. I don't have an attachment to it, so I let it go. It doesn't create a negative feeling, obviously, because I still love my husband, and it was his ring. But it doesn't mean I don't have any. It doesn't mean any significant value. It doesn't improve my life. I don't feel like I want to use it. So if you don't feel like you're going to use it, honestly, just let it go. That's like the, if you're not using it, you don't love it.
All right.
Just let it go. Just try to really, because it's just a good feeling. It's just such a good feeling.
Oh my gosh. It's liberating.
It really is.
So liberating.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
I have a terribly messy garage, and I constantly try to work on that thing to clean it up.
Do you want my staff to come over, James?
Kind of. I have so many projects that I don't even know what's worth. It's not that I love the individual part, but I also know how tough it is to find parts for certain projects, cars that you're working on and all this kind of stuff. So, but it's funny. My wife makes fun of me because I had this car. I had a 79 Malibu that I did a lot of work on. And she's like, you still have Malibu parts. And I'm like, those are valuable to somebody. I just haven't taken the time to find out who.
Right.
So, like, I'd probably give them to the person. Just get them out of there. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever.
So sometimes, and that happens because, I think that happens to lots of people where they just ignore things for a while until they have to deal with them. And so lots of times we come in when that's the end of the day, you have to deal with it now. So and sometimes we really like people to deal with their own stuff as opposed to leaving it for your kids to deal with.
Yeah.
So it's like, and I think right now even the generations, we're working with lots of 60-year-olds who are, you know, helping their 80-year-old parents right now. So I think, for the most part, a lot of these 60-year-olds are now seeing what's going on with their parents, that they're actually trying to downsize themselves.
That's fair.
On a more regular basis, because, like, I can't, you know, I just can't do this to my kids. So they're trying to not do what they're dealing with, because they see the enormous task it is in front of them.
Yeah.
So it is really fascinating, but I think they're trying to downsize themselves more.
Interesting.
Because they don't want to leave it for their kids, because they're in that right now.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fair. So. That's totally fair.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you mentioned Peter Walsh. Is he an author?
He's an author, yep. Downsizing. Okay. He has a bunch of great YouTube videos. In fact, I was watching him this weekend just because I love him.
Nice.
So he goes through, he does some organizing. He just kind of goes through these emotions that go through downsizing.
Okay.
And I think he just explains things really well. He has some interesting books that kind of put the correlation between, like, financial, like, sometimes people have financial issues related to downsizing. They have weight, you know, issues dealing with kind of, it all kind of falls within downsizing world.
Fair.
Trying to deal with stuff in some light. So he kind of wraps those points together. So,
all right.
Yeah, he's really interesting.
Very cool. I want to ask you really quick about the systems that you came up with. It sounds like my rule is to systematize everything. Because then you know what's supposed to happen next. And I feel like we have to do that with all of our clients to a point. And you definitely have to do that. How did you come up with the system?
Well, we have a system, but I have to say that another thing I should mention when I interview my staff.
Yeah.
I always warn they have to be flexible, and it's very fluid. So it changes all the time. So they have to be able to adapt to change. So even if we have our systems in line, so basically, you know, we kind of know, we have a couple project managers who work with us, so they'll go and work with the clients and decide kind of, you know, which of our partners we want to bring in as far as, like, people to buy items, our donation sites. So they kind of, we have a, you know, kind of a checklist basically for that. But then things could just totally change overnight. Like, we had, I have this case story, actually, of one of my clients that it was a hoarding situation, and he only had one relative who was in Minnesota.
Okay.
So basically, we were called in just to downsize him to stay in the house because he didn't want to move.
Oh.
So we literally just were there, like, for one shift. Like, I think my girls were there for 2 hours. And then he fell. And so then the whole plan of, okay, we're going to downsize to make his home safe, totally went out the window. And now we're like, okay, we have to get him moved to, he was going assisted living. Mm-hmm. So then you have to be able to, in an instant, even though you have a plan, you have to be able to alter plans right away.
Fair.
And so that's
fair. Like, you're just shifting gears there.
Yeah. Yeah. So my staff has to be really good at having our systems in line, but being mm-hmm. able to just, you know, turn on a dime just instantly. Too.
Fair. So, fair. But the systems for noting what's going to go where, mm-hmm. what's keeping, what's getting
yes.
dumpster-fied or whatever.
Yeah, so that we do a lot of, we have different areas. We have a sticker system that we use mm-hmm. to identify, keep, ship to a family member, donate. Mm-hmm. So we kind of have a lot of sticker systems in place.
Okay.
And then we have a lot of signs that we use.
All right.
And then my staff just basically knows which items are going towards which of our partners.
Mm-hmm.
So we start organizing. So we kind of reorganize the houses. We're doing that sorting stage.
Yeah.
And so then my staff just knows who to call for which item.
That's so cool.
Does that make sense? So that's
totally.
that's kind of our system. It's not totally. Very fancy. It just kind of works that everyone...
Well, it doesn't have to be, right? Yeah. As long as there's a system.
Right.
Instead of just sending an employee in there and just be like, hey, work this out.
Yeah. No, and they kind of go room by room. And we usually start, if they're having a hard time, we just start like one-on-one with the client. Like, okay, let's just do focus on mm-hmm. one area. And then as people get used to us being there,
mm-hmm.
then we might have to send in like more staff just to kind of get things finished in a, you know, period.
Gotcha. Period. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Man. It's impressive, so and you, I feel like you're more empathetic than I am, so I don't know if I could do what you do.
You have to be nice.
Yeah.
I think you would do fine.
I feel like I'm nice, but it's so, I don't know, it's just challenging. I can't imagine, well, I guess I'll probably run into this situation with my parents eventually, right?
Yes, I think
people get old, right? Everybody's going to have to deal with that,
right? And then again, I think that a lot of my staff are dementia friendly trained.
Oh,
so again, there's a whole another level that we didn't even get into about when people actually are working through this when they have dementia.
Yeah,
and so again, you can't have these conversations. Like, you can't ask the client what they want, you know, what clothes they wear most often, because they're already beyond that. They can't answer you.
Oh.
So then the children are trying to like respect their mom's wishes, but also getting frustrated. Because maybe their mom doesn't recognize them, or they've lost their communication.
Okay.
So when people kind of are in that frame of mind, I think my staff is actually super good in that role of, you know what, it's just helping the family realize that this is the path they're going down, and there's different levels of dementia,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to be able to handle the sorting, they're not going to be able to answer
sure.
the questions. So, you know, it's probably better not to ask them. You know, this question.
Gotcha.
So there's a lot of that goes on too. So definitely being sympathetic is huge, I would
right.
say.
As far and there's as some like, guidance, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All
lots
right.
of guidance, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'd just be like, burn the place down.
No, yeah, don't say it.
Oh, it'd be so tough. That would be so tough.
It's super rewarding. It's such a rewarding profession to be part of. So
So you and I were talking before we started about your reviews,
mm-hmm.
55 five-star reviews just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's...
Blows my mind. Yeah, it's incredible on a whole other level.
And they're intense reviews. Like, in fact, like, if you read them, there's, like, paragraphs on each review. I don't
All right.
know if you went into them.
I just saw it really
it's
briefly.
Okay.
I was like, how are you not even at 4.9? Like, from some... Like,
yeah.
I saw this truck cut me off that I happened to get the name on or something.
Thank God. I owe it all to my staff because they're wonderful. But these reviews are so intense that it's not a simple line like, yeah, great job.
Yeah.
It's like paragraphs. Like, I could not have gone through this without you type of situations. And
super cool.
Yeah, so the time we're working with these families is such an intense time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just come in and we say no problem to anything that comes up, like, it's mm-hmm. fine. We totally help you with that. It's
mm-hmm.
okay. You don't have to. We'll do it. So
yeah.
It's all good. And we just try to relieve those tasks and the stress from them.
Mm-hmm.
And it just builds this interesting dynamic. So
that's cool. That's super cool. Yeah. I love doing that. I guess with our clients was just a different level.
Mm-hmm.
Yours are just crazy emotional because it's all this work in a very short amount of time.
That's exactly right. Yep.
And they might not even be living here, right?
Right.
They could be across the country.
Right.
Oh, it's surreal. That's super cool.
It's really wonderful.
It's impressive. How can people find you?
So basically, if they can call calls on calls, answer our phones.
Sure.
So
yep.
They can,
yay!
608-395-1821 is our number that goes straight to you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can go to our website. We have a contact us form that way. So you can email.
Nice.
Call,
Very cool. I'm trying to think. Is there anything that I should have asked you before we close this up?
No, I think you did a great job. So
all right, well, I think you did a better job. So.
ask you questions.
I just ask a few questions, right?
I wasn't sure what you were going to ask me. I was kind of nervous. I'm like, oh, it might give me a tough one.
It's authentic, just easy.
Yeah,
that's great. Easy peasy, man. This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land, coming to you in this sweet, sweet studio and with video now.
Nice.
So, yay.
That's great.
Super cool. My name is James Kademan, and Authentic Business Adventures is brought to you by Calls on Call, offering call answering and receptionist services for service businesses across the country on the web at callsoncall.com, as well as Draw In Customers Business Coaching, offering business coaching services for entrepreneurs looking for growth on the web at drawincustomers.com. And, of course, The Bold Business Book, a book for the entrepreneur in all of us, available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, as well as our guest, Marianne Garidi, owner of Moving Forward Senior Move Managers. I love that. I love that name.
Thank you, James. That's so impressive. Thanks for having me, too.
Oh, I want to ask you really quick. Who did your logo?
A friend of ours actually did it.
Okay.
Yeah, so her husband plays racquetball with my husband.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. So small world.
Terry Breeze is her name.
All right.
Terry
Breeze. Super cool. Yeah, the name, the logo, super awesome.
That's awesome. Thanks.
Man, you guys could franchise across the world.
I tell
you,
let's do it.
Nice. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 1 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at sunpraymediacenter.com. Past episodes can be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link, found at drawincustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome. And if you do nothing else, enjoy your business.